ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 14 टेक्स्ट नंबर 5। यावत् अर्थम् उपासीनो यावत् अर्थम् उपासीनो देहे गेहे च पंडिता विरक्तो रक्तवत् तत्र निर्लोके नरतम् न्यसेत्। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: while working to earn his livelihood as much as necessary to maintain body and soul together, one who is actually learned should live in human society unattached to family affairs, although externally appearing very much attached. Purport: this is the picture of ideal family life. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Ramananda Rai about the goal of life, Ramananda Rai described it in different ways, according to the recommendations of the revealed scriptures. And finally, Sri Ramananda Rai explained that one should stay in his own position, whether as a Brahmana, a Shudra, a Sannyasi, or whatever. But one must try to inquire about life's goal, Athato Brahma Jigyasa. This is the proper utilization of the human form of life. When one misuses the gift of human form by unnecessarily indulging in the animal propensities of eating, sleeping, mating and defending, and does not try to get out of the clutches of Maya, which subjects one to repeated birth, old age, disease and death, birth, death, old age and disease, one is again punished by being forced to descend to the lower species and undergo evolution according to laws of nature. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha. Being completely under the grip of material nature, the living entity must evolve again from the lower species to the higher species until he at last returns to human life and gets the chance to be freed from the material clutches. A wise man, however, learns from Shastras and Guru that we living entities are all eternal but are put into troublesome conditions because of associating with different modes under laws of material nature. He therefore concludes that in the human form of life, he should not endeavor for unnecessary necessities. I repeat, he should not endeavor for unnecessary necessities, but should live a very simple life, just maintaining body and soul together. Certainly, one requires some means of livelihood, and according to one's varna and ashram, this means of livelihood is prescribed in the Shastras. One should be satisfied with this. Therefore, instead of hankering for more and more money, a sincere devotee of the Lord tries to invent some ways to earn his livelihood. And when he does so, Krishna helps him. Earning one's livelihood, therefore, is not a problem. The real problem is how to get free from the bondage of birth, death and old age. Attaining this freedom and not inventing unnecessary necessities is a basic principle of Vedic civilization. One should be satisfied with whatever means of life comes automatically. The modern materialistic civilization is just the opposite of the ideal civilization. Every day, the so-called leaders of modern society invent something contributing to a cumbersome way of life that implicates people more and more in the cycle of birth, death, old age, and disease. Hare Krishna. So, we are continuing our discussion between Yudhishthira Maharaj and Narad Muni, wherein after Yudhishthira Maharaj has heard in the previous chapters about the duties of the renounced order, he feels very keen to know from Narad Muni of what are the duties of a householder, because he falls in that category. This is the nature of a sincere devotee of the Lord. He is always wanting to inquire and know how best and how ideal he can live in his life, even though he is of a stature of Yudhishthir Maharaj, such a great devotee, such a successful person. But still, when he heard Narad Muni speaking about renounced order, he said, fine, now how do I, as a grihastha, be an ideal grihastha? And he inquires from sadhus. That is the nature of a sincere devotee. He never feels that he's in an ideal, he's in a situation where he doesn't need any improvement. There's always scope for improvement in whatever situation we are. So Yudhishthir Maharaj, in his natural humility, in the natural desire to know how best he can be a grihastha, he's inquiring this particular knowledge from Narad Muni. And Narad Muni, very, very graphically, and as you will see in these verses, in a very detailed way, is not just is giving a cursory answer, not a cursory glance over just what grihastha life is all about. He's going in minute details about the grihastha ashram. So his reply is based on the great desire of Yudhishthira Maharaj to hear. So Narad Muni is replying in a very detailed way. So in this verse, he speaks about earning of livelihood. Now, it appears to be very mundane subject matter, to earn money. What is that doing in Bhagavatam? The aspect of earning money. Bhagavatam is, and by the way, this is Parikshit Maharaj hearing from Sukhdev Goswami. And he's about to die in 7 days. And here Sukhdev Goswami is telling him the duty of a grihastha and how he should earn money. And what he should do, what he should not do, and so on and so forth. So, nothing in a devotee's life is less important. Everything is important. Even the aspect of earning money. How he should do, what he should do, is very, very important. In the previous verse, Narad Muni has described grihastha ashram or married life, not directly but indirectly, as a dream, right? If you see the previous words, he says, thus one should gradually become detached from the affection of wife and children, exactly like a man awakening from a dream. So he's not clearly saying that it is a dream and you should awaken from it, but he's saying now you should not be attached to the wife and children, and he should awaken himself as if awakening from a dream. So what he is in a dream. So, you know, in the medical terminology, we have this terminology, doctors would know. We have GA, that when a person is getting operated, the doctor's right is so-and-so operation under, you know, LA or GA. LA means local anesthesia, means if the particular part is to be operated, only that part is anesthetized, so that he doesn't feel the pain. Otherwise, he is completely conscious. But when there is a major operation, or where there is a scope of bigger pain, then he is done under general anesthesia, GA. Where a person doesn't know anything. Recently, one of a person very closely known to me, he went in for a particular procedure wherein they put probes in from the mouth. It is very, you can imagine, you know, putting a probe in the right in the mouth. It's very, very painful. So that person was brought to the table, and you know, he was given something to eat, and then of course the whole thing was done, and then he came out of general anesthesia. He said, "So when are you doing the operation?" Because he was not aware. That part was he was not knowing, because he was completely in general anesthesia, GA. And somehow the other, grihastha ashram also means GA.
general anesthesia.
So when a person enters into this ashram, he's anesthetized. He doesn't know what's happening. He's just quite oblivious. I mean, he just gets so caught up. It's a dream situation, as Narad Muni explains. Let's accept the fact it's a dream situation. A few years back, I had a dream. It's nothing great, but it's just to show how stupid dreams can be. It is important to tell you. I got a dream that right in front of my balcony, there's a huge aeroplane, which I'm seeing. I like to see in the sky. I'm a daydreamer maybe. So I was seeing in the sky, and right in front of my eyes, the aeroplane came down and crashed in front of me. Right in front of me, and everything was so graphic, details were there. I could even see the small wires in the plane burning. And then going to the cockpit and the people struggling. Every detail. I could see somebody's Samsonite bag bursting out. I could see the Samsonite in my dream. So I was really so, right in front of me. And, then things were exploding one by one. Boom, boom, boom. And I was right in my balcony. It was happening right in front of me. I have my own balcony, which is even the actual place where I stay. The same balcony, everything. And of course, the good thing about dream is in the end, Radhanath Swami, my spiritual master, came and he hugged me. So I said, that's the good thing of the dream. But before that, I was seeing that it is just so real. The wires are burning. It was like a proper real picture happening in front of me. I was part of it. I was seeing it happening. But it was a dream. It was just so real, but a dream. So, it's important to understand that we have to come out of this dream situation. Whether in whatever ashram we are, the fact that we are in the material world, we are under general anesthesia. We are completely oblivious of what we are supposed to do. But when the spiritual master comes, he pats us, he hugs us, and gets us out of the anesthetized condition and brings us back to reality. So here also, Narad Muni is talking about family life, is talking about earning the livelihood, and is telling us, in one sense, is telling us to be very diplomatic and duplicitous. In one sense, externally speaking, if you see the superficially, he says all. What is that? One who is actually learned should live in human society unattached to family affairs, although externally appearing to be very attached. So what is Narad Muni telling us? Look attached, but don't be attached. So that means what? He said you do something which you are not. Right? That's what Narad Muni is telling us. That if you want to be happy in Grihastha Ashram, then you appear to be attached, but you should not be attached. But there's a deep understanding of this principle. It is not just as it is explained by Narad Muni. There's a deep understanding to this. And then it is explained by Prabhupada in his purport about the importance of simple living, high thinking. In the Brahmachari notice board, we have seen, I think the article put recently, about simple living, high thinking, quoting William Wordsworth, is that? Just read it today morning, that this is what Prabhupada has been stressing about plain living or simple living and high thinking. But a wonderful phrase has been used by Prabhupada here, beautiful phrase, about the unnecessary necessities of life. This is the first time in the whole Bhagavatam, last six cantos, Prabhupada mentioned this phrase. First time, it is such a brilliant phrase. That's so very self-explanatory. What are necessities in life? Things that are required for our survival. We need those things for survival. And they explained food, shelter and clothing, roti, kapda, makan, is the necessities of life. We need that. We cannot survive with that. We cannot survive. But when we start getting attached to the unnecessary necessities of life. Very nice word. What is unnecessary necessities? When we think something is necessary, when we think that by that, I cannot survive, that becomes a necessity, but it is not the fact. In fact, by having those things, we die. We feel that they are so necessary that we can't survive without that, but in fact, those things are the cause of our death. How much we find the mobile phone to be such a necessity in life now? But the fact is, it is heading us towards death. You know, every time I pick up a phone, my head starts, there's such a turmoil in the brains. Such a killer. The transport system, we cannot survive without it. Can we think of surviving without transport system? But we are heading towards hell. Let the nano come, and we are all going to become zeros by the nanos. We'll have zero luxury. Zero amenities. This whole thing is going to be completely a chaos. Just so profusely things being given. The amenities are given, but there is no space. And forget the space, the global warming. By the way, we might say global warming, we are devotees. But the fact is, it is going to affect us. It's going to be terribly affecting us. It's serious trouble. So things which are necessary, we thought, are so unnecessary that we are going to die by that. And Prabhupada is so heavily stressing on this unnecessary and necessities of life. And how much we are so attached to this unnecessary necessities of life. And Prabhupada is saying very, very beautiful line further. A wise man. What is it? Therefore, instead of hankering for more and more of money, a sincere devotee of the Lord tries to invent some ways to earn his livelihood, and when he does so, Krishna helps him. This is a wonderful line. Very wonderful line. Because we grihasthas, many of us are here, it is so important. Money is so important. How can we survive without money? Even in temple, how can we survive without money? Money is, explained, is the rasa which makes everything liquid, otherwise everything becomes solid. If there's money, things starts flowing, right? Everything is nice, you get nice prasadam, and everything is nice. But when there's no money, then things become very, very jammed. Things don't move. It becomes very difficult. That's what the world is facing right now. There is no liquidity, as they say, right? What is there? There's no liquidity in the market. What does it mean? Everything becomes solid. Everything is just jammed. People have money they're putting in their pockets, they're not spending. It's all jammed. Everything is jammed. But once there's liquidity in the market, that means what? Money is flowing. Then everything is nice. Everything is going on very well. So, this is important to earn money. But Prabhupada is very clearly stressing that the main purpose of life is not to earn money. The main purpose is to get out of the cycle of birth and death. And then you can say, well, Prabhu, it's easy to say. But then Prabhupada writes this very nice statement. Therefore, instead of hankering for more and more money, very clearly mentioned, Prabhupada says very clearly, each purport is so important. Govind Prabhu is teaching us in our group how to read Bhagavatam. And we have come to understand that Prabhupada, every line is so well thought. It is not that Prabhupada was in a hurry when he wrote this. Prabhupada was thinking of each word and using the right word. And so he's saying, instead of hankering for more and more money, very clearly talking about money, he's talking about cash, he's talking about Lakshmi. A sincere devotee of the Lord tries to invent. This is very important. So a devotee has to be innovative. A devotee invents. It's not existing, but he invents. Because a devotee has to be innovative. I remember once my spiritual master gave instruction saying that we should find innovative ways of preaching Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness can be preached, but in a day and age, Hare Krishna Prabhu, you remember? This instruction was given to when both of us were together. He said that we should find innovative ways of preaching Krishna consciousness, newer and newer ways, you know, how we should preach. So that's innovation is very important in life. So similarly, a devotee, he invents, what is he saying? Tries to invent some ways to earn his livelihood, and when he does so, Krishna helps him. When I read this, I said, who is Krishna? You know, who is helping me? Krishna. He's helping me. Then a verse came to my mind. Krishna says, I carry what you have and supply what you lack. When you surrender to Krishna, of course, not otherwise. When you surrender to Krishna, Krishna carries what you have and supplies what you lack. And then, this beautiful story of this wonderful devotee of named Arjun Acharya came to my mind. Maybe you know the story, but still, let's discuss. Beautiful story. So hope-giving story. Arjun Acharya was a very, very great devotee of the Lord. He was writing commentary on Bhagavad Gita. Very great, very simple devotee, you know, living very frugally. Grihastha, of course, with his wife. He was living very simply, writing a commentary. And then he came to this verse, Yoga Shema Vaham Yaham. That I carry what you have and supply what you lack. Arjuna Acharya was such a humble devotee of the Lord. He said, why should Krishna carry for me anything? Why should he carry for me? Vaham. Why should he carry for me? So he said, this is some mistake. There's some mistake in what has been written here. So why should Krishna carry for me? Krishna can do it through some other means. So instead of vaham, he wrote karoshi. That Krishna will get it done through some other means. He scratched. This vaham is not proper. He scratched it. And then he said, this is better, karoshi. Then he went for taking his bath and taking darshan of the Lord. And then he was very, very poor, living very simply. And then his wife heard a knock at the door. And two beautiful young boys came with lot of opulent food. Raw material for cooking opulent food, and they gave to. I said, "This is for all of you, but one request: please cook and eat fast before your husband comes, because we are very scared of your husband, because he's very cruel to us." The wife was thinking, "My husband is such a mellow person; he doesn't even do any injury to anybody, even to an ant. How can he be cruel to these children?" I said, "No, we can't explain. Just do what we say," and then they left. And then, when husband came, she had finished eating food, as per the instructions. Husband said, what happened? How did you get this opulent food and you already started eating? You've never done this. You always waited for me. You don't eat before I eat. What is this? So, no, this two young boys came, and they got this paraphernalia for cooking. Items for cooking. So, and they instructed that I should eat before, because they said that you are very cruel to them. I said, what? I have not been cruel to anybody. Please explain, who are these people? I said, one was having a darkish complexion. They're very, very beautiful. And one was having a fair complexion. And then as she described, Arjuna Acharya said that, can you imagine, you have got darshan of the Lord himself, Krishna and Balram personally came to meet you. I said, what else they said? They said that you are very cruel to them, and I was not believing. So they opened the back and they showed me scratches on their back which are caused by you. I said, what? I never did any scratching for anybody. And then it was revealed. It dawned upon him that he had scratched the word Vaham, that Krishna doesn't personally carry, he does it through some other agencies. But Krishna wanted to prove that he himself, not through some agency, not through some movers and packers, he doesn't just pack it and move it through some movers and packers. He himself comes and delivers it and carries what you have and supplies what you lack. And then when, and those scratching were actually what scratching he did on that verse. It was Bhagavad Gita is non-different than the Lord, the Lord's body. So I was shocked. I said, next time I should not write anything in the book. And many, many times we have a habit of writing in scriptures with our pen. At least I have it. And sometimes we underline it. I said, it should never be done. But this is, you know, the Lord's scripture. Of course, the mood is not to scratch. We'll be underlining it. But still, it should be respected. So when we hear such stories, we understand that Krishna personally promises, guarantees that his person is going to carry. Have faith. And what is Krishna? He is achyuta. Infallible. He never misses anything that he says. He is infallible. So when we hear this, that Krishna personally helps the devotee, we should have faith that we should try our level best to find innovative ways to make our life simple. And why should we make our life simple? Grihasthas especially. Because simple life means more time for Krishna. And complicated life means more time for simply earning money. Because we need time to perform devotional service. Time is required. Right? So if we do not have time, we are simply busy doing nothing. As is, what are you doing? I'm busy doing nothing. Why? That's what his material life is all about. What are we all, what is the 99% of the people in the world doing? They're busy doing what? Nothing. They are like the anchor, which is, they're rowing, but still in the same spot. They're not really crossing the ocean of birth and death. They're right there. And maybe going more deeper inside, because they're the right, at the same place. The gravity pulls them more and more down. So, it is important that we understand that we should really have a simple life, have a lot of time for Krishna consciousness. And Krishna will provide this. Whatever we require, Krishna will provide it. If we give priority to Krishna, Krishna will provide. Like in the case of Arjuna Acharya. Krishna will take care of it. So if we orchestrate our life in such a way that we give more time to Krishna, even if it means to live simply. Now what does it mean to be simple? The immediate understanding of simplicity is what? We feel that he's a simple person, means he's, you know, he wears simple clothes, he eats simple food, he's only khichdi. But, you know, or rather he's very, you know, simple in his talks. But what is simple? Simplicity means no duplicity. Bhakti Sansa Thakur explains. What is saralta? Simplicity means no duplicity. And what is the duplicity that we are talking about right now? The duplicity is that we are trying to be duplicitous in front of Krishna. We have given a vow to Krishna. I was joining a class given by His Grace Dwarkadish Prabhu the other day in the hospital. He was making a very nice point. He said that Sugriv made an agreement with Ram that if you kill Bali, I will help you with all my monkey soldiers and we will help you to find Sita. And then, of course, it was time for Chaturmas, 4 months. So Ram and Lakshman, they stayed at the mountain in Kishinda. And the time was passing, but Sugriva was busy because he became a king. He was busy enjoying. He was busy in trying to enjoy the happiness of the material world. He forgot his promise. And the Lakshman came in a very, very angry mood. He came and he shook Sugriv, not maybe literally, but through his words, through his anger. So what are you doing? Have you forgotten the promise that you've given to Ram? And Dwarkadish Prabhu making the wonderful point that when we were in the mother's womb, all of us, when we were 6 months, 7 months in the mother's womb, when we got some consciousness at that time, we promised to the Lord. We all promised that, oh Lord, get me out of this crazy situation. The way we are in the womb is just so difficult. You know, every joint is bent. The neck, everything is just crouched and we are in that small bag of liquid. And we promise to the Lord that please, I promise I'll be a devotee of yours when I come out. Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes in this one of the bhajans. Janani Jatare Chilama Jakona. It says that when I promised that I'll be a good devotee, and then we came out. Swajana. Whatever. You know, by all the love of the relatives and you know, all the people saying, you know, my brother said, chuchi, 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 kuchi, kuchi, how are you? And, you know, they're making all the sounds. So nice, so sweet, baby. And they throw you up and throw you down. And everything is so nice. And we have the nice curdled, you know, soft toys to play. And nice small cot. And you know, everything's so nice. And everything's so cozy, so sweet. We forget. We forget the promise that we made to the Lord in the womb when we were suffering. And then we... Samsara lagilo bhalo. Samsara lagilo bhalo. Very, very... We find this material world is not a bad place actually. It's a nice place, you know. Itna kharab nahi hai. Andar thoda tha, abhi everything is nice now. Everything is fine, and we forget the promise that we have made. Like Sugriv, and we start indulging in sense gratification. Thus we become so comfortable in the material world. And then he says that we start Brahmi Deshe Deshe, and we go to different countries and we start acquiring degrees. What is that? A nice verb, I forget the bhajan. That Brahmi Deshe Deshe, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur beautifully explains the life of a person who has forgotten Krishna. And then the Guru comes in the life in the form of Lord Lakshman, who came as a Guru Tattva, and he shakes you. What the hell are you doing now? Have you forgotten the promise that you made to the Lord? He saved you and now you have forgotten it. Get out of your slumber and serve Ram. Help him to find Sita. Find the bhakti in your heart. And then you awake. You come to your senses. And all your senses are like monkeys. You engage those senses in Ram's service. All your senses, which are like monkeys running here and there otherwise. The mind is going here, the eyes are going here, the nose is going here. Monkeys. And Gaurang Prabhu was explaining recently in his Ram Katha. He was the monkey, if they find a monkey in this temple, you blink your eyes, the monkey is here, blink your eyes, he's there, and the monkey is there, and then he's on your head. He was explaining nicely, right? That's the monkey. You cannot just, you know, it's just running here and there. The senses are like the monkeys. If not engaged in Ram's service, they'll be engaged in service of the Rishik, of the senses, instead of Rishikesh, instead of the master of the senses. So we have forgotten. So what is Prabhupada is telling us? That you might earn your money, but don't forget the promise that you have given Sri Ramchandra, Lord Krishna, in the womb. All of us, every single person in every continent of the world. It doesn't apply only to Indians. Everybody, maybe everybody is in a womb and everybody is in a chaotic situation. Sometimes we remember this promise, you know, and we feel that this situation, we come in a similar situation, and we say, this is a situation that I have already been in when we go to the local trains of Bombay. And then we take, please let me get out of this train alive. And Krishna, I'll promise I'll chant extra rounds. Oh my God, it is just, you know, and especially in the summer season, you know, you get, you know, you're standing and somebody puts his hands up and holds, and you are like, oh my God, it cannot be worse than hell. And people start speaking, and this whole world is nothing but a world filled of bad odors. This is my realization. Material world means a place of bad odors. And when you come to temple, literally, it is just a divine place. Everything, nothing smells here. But anything out of the temple, everything is smelling. Every damn thing is smelling. People's mouths, people's bodies, everything is just so horrible. And the place is smelling, the place is dirty. It's just a smelly place. It's the material world is all about. It's a dirty place. So we make a promise to the Lord that Krishna, get me out of this material world. It's a crazy place. So that's what the Grihastashram, that's what the purpose of the human form of life is all about. To inquire about Brahman. Atato Brahma Jigyasa, as is written here by Prabhupada. So Grihastas should not forget this primary duty of life. And why only Grihastas? All of us. Every devotee should not forget that. So Prabhupada writes that this unnecessary necessity is, in one of the lectures he gave at New Vrindavan, he was saying that trying to acquire this unnecessary necessities is like trying to decorate a dead body. Brilliant analogy. What does the dead body require? What does it require? Nothing. What does a dead body? It's dead. All it requires is some fire or some land to get buried or to be burnt. That's all it requires, or some birds. That's all. But then we were trying to decorate a dead body. What is it? What is the use? It's simply unnecessary. It's foolish. So we should all hopefully get a realization. And what I understood is this is such a high level, at least for me. I mean, I was so scared. We were discussing the other day that whatever you speak, Krishna makes you, makes you go through the situation. And you know, this, when I heard that, it's just so scary to speak anything. It's just, I mean, everything you speak, I said, Krishna, please don't hear this. Because you have to speak sitting here. You cannot speak anything else but the truth. And Krishna will make you realize. So what we are trying to do is come as close as possible to the ideal situation. And the situation is too difficult. It is practically not existent. The ideal situation in the material world doesn't really exist. It is ideal, means it is there, but doesn't really exist. So for all of us, we just try to come as close as possible to the ideal situation. And Prabhupada writes, to keep the body and soul together. I said, how can I speak this? I have a big body and I don't care of my soul. You know, how can I speak about that? I'm living just to keep body and soul together. None of us, you believe, seeing my size, that this guy is just living for keeping body and soul together. So, you know, it's such a high level of the verse says that. That's the ideal situation. We are trying to be as simple as possible and come as close as possible to the ideal situation. And that's what is Prabhupada trying to instruct us. That let us not decorate the dead body. Let us realize that we, when we stand in the front of the mirror, that this is a dead body standing. Slowly we should get the realization. And then we realize that everything attached to this body is unnecessary. And what will give life to this body is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram, Hare Hare. And I was just thinking of that, you know, there's another deeper aspect of this verse. That we all are staying in a family life. This chapter is entitled Ideal Family Life. So I said, you know, how can this verse be only for Grihasthas? You know, Bhagavatam is not just Grihastha-centric verses. It is universal-centric. It is applicable to everybody. So we all are a family of devotees staying together. We all are trying to execute Krishna consciousness as a big family. There's different units of family. We have a family which is our direct family we relate to the flesh. You know, we have a small family of 4 or 5 people that we stay. And then we have a larger family of Radha Gopinath temple, Radha family of ISKCON temple, and so on and so forth. So as a family, we are all trying to execute Krishna consciousness. We are all trying to execute and work upon only those things that are necessary in Krishna consciousness. And that is the holy name, getting attached to the holy name, getting attached to the devotees of the Lord, and serving the spiritual master. These are 3 things. Maybe few things are the more things, but these are the main things. The attachment to the holy name is what is necessary. That attachment to the devotees is the most necessary. And the attachment to the spiritual master and his instructions. Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chitete Koryo Aki Arana Koryo Mane Asha. This is necessary in our life. But in this situation, we also start getting attached to the unnecessary necessities of this larger family. And what does it mean? I was thinking that kirtan is a wonderful process, you know, where we are glorifying the Lord by chanting Hare Krishna. Krishna personally, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally inaugurated this Sankirtan movement where we are dancing and singing kirtan of the Lord. What we need in a kirtan? If you don't have anything, you just clap. If you have kartas, you use kartas. If you have mrudang, you use mrudang. If you have big facilities you know, of all sorts of instruments, use it, like the trumpet with our Prabhuji, you know, and different saxophones and this phones and that phones. You know, we can use that. But I have seen devotees, I mean, I have interacted, that they get so used to the instruments, the unnecessary necessities, and they don't get attached to the holy name. And that's a problem. It is nice to have the best orchestra for the Lord, but it is not the necessity. What you all need is, you know, and if somebody is not having a good voice, they just get up and go away. They just want the top quality voice, top quality saxophones, and top quality harmonium players and everything. Then only they will say, oh, it's so nice. Oh, this is very soothing. But we are losing the real purpose of kirtan. Kirtan means the holy name. Whoever sings it, kirtan means just clapping your hands, or at the most a kartal and a mrudang. That's all that is required. But with the modern, you know, ISKCON growth, it is good. We are having more and more things to serve Krishna. Wonderful, nothing wrong. But we should not become dependent on that. That I can do kirtan only if these things are there. They are not necessary. They are unnecessary necessities, we think. Similarly, prasadam. Last Sunday, we all experienced. We feel when I come to prasad, prasadam has to be opulent. How can I perform bhakti if there is no opulent prasad? It's going to be every Sunday now, as I understand. But this is not necessary. Prasad is simply a mercy of the Lord. Whatever comes in your plate, eat it. You don't need to have opulent prasad to perform your bhakti. But we get so very much tuned into this unnecessary necessities of opulent prasadam. Isn't it? It's just so difficult to get. Literally, I was so happy to, on Sunday, you know, everybody was. And you know, then I was sitting, I was one of the first ones, and people were eating. It was hilarious. I mean, I was not sad, but it was so hilarious. I mean, we all have got so attached to opulent prasad. We have got so we have become so spoiled brats by Radha Gopinath's mercy. He's providing us. But we have got so attached to it, and we feel that it is essential. It is essential, but one day something else comes in your plate and then we get so disturbed. That is unnecessary necessities of life. What is required is only prasad, no matter what it is. But opulent prasad, and you know, so many additions have come in our society. You know, many times we as preachers, or we as people who are doing preaching, we said, how can I do preaching if I don't have facilities? If you want me to do preaching, I need a laptop, I need a LCD projector, I need a vehicle, I need a bucket of prasad to be carried by somebody else, not me. And only then I can do preaching. This is mentality, maybe. At least I have the mentality. If I come there, at least there should be 30 plus people, and they should be there before I come. Preaching means, I remember my spiritual master telling me that when he was told to preach, he had nothing was given to him as a facility. He just said, go out, no clothes were given, no vehicles, nothing. Go out and do college preaching. And he was the most successful college preacher without any facilities given. But we get so used to the unnecessary necessities of preaching that I cannot preach till I don't have a PowerPoint. Where does Chaitanya Mahaprabhu say you should preach with using PowerPoints? What is required for preaching? Purity, not PowerPoint. Purity is required. But we just get so attached to that, you know, those unnecessary necessities of life. And we become dysfunctional. When we don't have those things, because our mind closes. It doesn't work anymore if that is not there. And what to talk of the most essential, not essential thing, internet. It's just, I know for sure, whenever I go to some other places, first thing, Prabhuji, please, one thing, don't give me food, I don't mind, but internet, I need to connect. It's unnecessary necessities in one sense. It's necessary for your preaching, maybe, but you cannot become dysfunctional if there's no internet. But we do become completely dysfunctional if there's no internet. We just get so disturbed. You ask the people, there are a few of my friends who are working in you know, different companies which they are working as customer service representatives for different ISPs, internet service providers. And people get so mad at them when the internet closes. And they're the people who are taking all the brunt. They give all the choicest of nice words, bad words, or whatever to them. It's because they are just so disturbed. How can I function without internet? Get it started. There was actually a person went so crazy because he didn't have internet. Literally, at Malad, he actually broke the whole office of Tata Indicom. One person just took stones and just blew it all because the internet was not working. He just went so mad. He says, "What do I do at home? Nothing works." And the same thing applies to devotees. There was one guest who came to our temple, and we asked him, "Please give your critical comments for the temple, Radha Gopinath temple." He said, "I couldn't find anything wrong." I said, "Thank." But I said one thing. He said, "There is no proper internet facility here." I said, "Is good or bad?" It's good, but you know, if it is there, it is also good. So internet is, I mean, this is important for service, no doubt. There's so much of email correspondence happening nowadays. But we should not become dependent, and to such an extent they become dysfunctional if it is not existing. So that is the whole idea of what Prabhupada is trying to teach us. To figure out, maybe we should all do exercise and go to our respective, you know, silent zones whenever we get time to have when we have space for ourselves, and list down all the unnecessary necessities that we have in our life, and we'll find, at least I did in my mind. I couldn't write it on paper, but I had a flow of a couple of dozens of items that they're not necessary for me, but we use it. We are so far away from simple and high thinking. And what will happen, you know, when we are told to shift to the farm, but there won't be any water in Bombay? What will you do? We cannot survive there. So get used. When Prabhupada is teaching us the importance of simple living, high thinking. Please, this word is brilliant. The unnecessary necessities of life should be completely given up. If you want to hear a lecture, how can I hear a lecture without an MP3 player? But where, you know, what is why you need? You just need to hear a lecture. You know, why can't you come personally sitting here and hear the class? But we get so attached to the gadgets. I was analyzing every person who is walking in Bombay. You know, he is worth, from the gadgets perspective, at least 15 to 20,000 rupees. That's the gadgets that he's carrying, every single person. A mobile, MP3 player, and you know, some voice recorder and this and that. There's so many gadgets we are using. I went to somebody's house, and you know, I found a very, very amazing sight. He had in one panel one dozen, you know, charging points. I said, "Wake do it, one dozen." I said, "There's a fight between me and my wife because, you know, she wants to charge her mobile, I want to charge my mobile. And it goes to such an extent that they are real heavy fights. So I just put a whole panel of 12 plug points so we can charge all our gadgets. As so many gadgets everybody wants to charge every day. That is the unnecessary necessities of life. So of course, I'm trying to just speak something which I'm not practicing. Please forgive me. I'm also trying to reach the ideal situation. And we all should try the situation Prabhupada is explaining. Many times our mind says that some things which we find very difficult to do, we just ignore it. Prabhupada is saying, but you know, yukta vairagya and so on and so forth. But it is serious. Every point in Prabhupada's purport is serious, and we should take it very, very seriously. Let us analyze what are the unnecessary things in our life, and let us have a life which is simple and very high in his thinking, high in his ambitions, to reach Krishna and perfecting our life in this very, very lifetime. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. So if there's any additions from devotees, I would be happy to hear. Any questions? Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Nitai Gaura Premanandi.